It happens to just about all of us. We meet someone and we're told their name and then we promptly forget it. Does anybody else have trouble remembering names? Why is it so hard to remember names? Do you have trouble with that? I actually looked it up on the internet. I typed in, why do we forget names on the internet? And then I read a number of sites on the internet, answers that people gave, and I do not like what some of them said because, well, it was embarrassing. In most of those articles, it said that I have a hard time remembering names because I really don't care enough about the person to remember their name. Ouch. Another site talked about what they called the next thing syndrome. And it works like this. In other words, I'm meeting someone and I'm hearing your name, but my brain is saying, what should I say next? Should I say hello? Should I say nice to meet you? Should I extend my hand to shake my hand? Should I bump your fist? Shall I say nothing? That's a lovely dress you're wearing. What should I say to the next person? My brain's just working elsewhere. I'm just not listening to your name, and all of that becomes more important to me. Or I'm smiling and I'm saying, good morning, I'm so glad to see you, you're looking marvelous today, but my brain is saying, I bet there's somebody over there who's more interesting than this person I'm talking to right here. I wonder who it is. In fact, if you watch on TV and you see the politicians, you know, shaking people's hands, often they're pushing people aside as they shake hands, and they're looking even over there, who's next? Who's next? Ouch. I'm guilty of all of those things. Thank God he does not have that problem. He is our true example. He remembers us by name. Here's just one example, Isaiah 49:1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Here's another one. When God was giving Moses the instructions on leading the Hebrews through the wilderness, God said this to Moses in Exodus 33, verse 17. God said, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Now, what he was really saying to Moses is, I know your character. I know your integrity. I know you intimately. I have intimate knowledge of you. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I need name tags. God doesn't need name tags. I need name tags, and I still only work at the outer layer of who you are. God, who doesn't need name tags, is able to not only remember your name, but he's able to get into the depths of you, into the inner layer of who you are. He cares for you. He really cares for you enough to remember your name. We are not like that. For instance, we look at a bunch of sheep, and what do we see? A bunch of sheep. But a shepherd sees each and every one of those sheep and knows those sheep by name. That one over there, that's Amos. He's hungry all the time. This one over here, that's Simon. He protests too much. That one over there, he wanders off too much. His name is Harry. John 10:3. The watchman opens the gate and the sheep listen for his voice. He calls his sheep by name. And he leads them out. I'm imagining Lazarus in the grave. And Jesus is standing at the opening of the tomb. And he says, Lazarus! And calls him by name. I'm imagining going into heaven and having Jesus there to greet me. Harry, welcome. I've prepared a place for you. Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep? There were 100 sheep in that story, and only one of them was lost. But the shepherd knew that one was missing and went after that one. He didn't just see a flock of sheep. He saw each one, and he loved them. He cared for them enough to know them by name. When I see a crowd of people, I see a crowd of people, not persons, but not so with a shepherd. A shepherd sees every face is different. Every face. Every face has a story. Every face has a story. Every face is his child. Every face is his child. Every child has a name. The one over there playing the keyboard, that's Elaine. The one back there who's mastering the soundboard, that's Renee. The one over there who had a successful brain transplant, that's John. If you missed a few Sundays, you may wonder about that one, right? Dwight L. Moody was a great evangelist, and he wrote this. He said, "The great trouble is that people take everything in general. Suppose a man should say to me, 'Moody, there was a man in Europe who died last week and left $5 million to a certain individual.' Well, I say, I don't doubt that. It's rather a common thing to happen. And then I don't think any more about it. But suppose he says, 'But Moody, he left the money to you.' Then I pay attention. I say, 'To me? Yes, he left it to you.' Then I become suddenly interested. I want to know all about it. So we are apt to think that Christ died for sinners. He died for everyone, and nobody in particular. But when the truth comes to me that eternal life is mine, and all the glories of heaven are mine, I begin to be interested." Two things about that illustration. It is an admission of our self-centeredness. And two, it is a testimony to the sense of awe and wonder and joy that we realize that we are truly the recipients of an inheritance. Hallelujah! Revelation 21, 6 through 7. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son." Salvation is very personal. God knows you by name. He knows your character. He knows your integrity. God said to his people in Isaiah 49, he said, "I will never forget you. I will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." That is prophetic, because Jesus Christ did exactly that. He engraved us on the palms of his hands. Brothers and sisters, your name is on God's lips. Your name is in God's hands. He knows you by name. Think about it. That is wonderful. And that is what inspired these words. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in this Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me. Do you know why Charles Wesley wrote those words? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, didst die for me? He wrote them because of his shame. He did not feel worthy. Why? Because he was once a super committed Christian, committed to the faith of Christianity. In school, he and his brother were so caught up in the legalisms of worshiping God by rising before dawn and having a Bible study before breakfast that they became known by their fellow students for their legalistic methods. And those students began to call them Methodists. And that's how the denomination was born. It was a celebration of legalism. But as young adults, Charles and John Wesley abandoned their faith, as happens to a lot of young people. Has that ever happened to you? In your youth, did you stray from God? I did. Or maybe some of you are there now, not feeling very close to God. When Charles became a recommitted Christian, he became more than committed to a faith called Christianity. He became committed to a person, Jesus the Christ. And it changed him. He had forsaken Christ and he felt ashamed. But Christ took him back. Amazing love. Revelation 3:5, Jesus said, "He who overcomes will be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." 6 times in the New Testament, we're told that God has a book of life and your name is written in that book of life. You are special. Hallelujah. Now, you know, do you know what challenges me the most, I think, about all of this? It's when I ponder it, I realize that God wants me to love you the way God loves me. He wants me to treasure you the way he treasures me. He does not want me to be a spiritual hermit. He wants me to care about those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My relationship to Jesus Christ is personal, but that does not mean that it is private. Let me say that again. To all of us, your relationship to Jesus Christ is personal, but we belong to one another. It is not private. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows the deepest parts of me, and God knows the deepest parts of you. I want to tell you about a Hebrew word. This Hebrew word is literally pronounced shame. It is spelled S-H-E-M, and its literal translation is name. There is no shame in the name of God. Hallelujah. And there is no shame in your name, or there should not be, because your name is special. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Bible, you frequently see an idiom which is "in the name of." And here's just one example. It's in Psalm 124:8. Our help is in the name of God, the maker of heaven and earth, the power of God, the character of God, the integrity of God, the authority of God, all of that is what we're talking about when we talk about the name of God. His name is very good. His name is great. His name is very great, and it is greatly to be praised. Our challenge is to be like him. He wants me to be like him. He wants you to be like him as much as we can. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. I want to tell you a story about a great Christian musician. His name is Bill Gaither. How many of you know the name Bill Gaither? Bill tells this story in his book called I Almost Missed the Sunset. It happened decades ago. He said, Gloria and I had been married only a couple of years. We were teaching school in Alexandria, Indiana, where I had grown up, and we wanted a piece of land where we could build a house. I noticed the parcel south of town where the cattle grazed, and I learned that it belonged to a 92-year-old retired banker by the name of Mr. Yule. He owned a lot of land in the area, but word was that he would sell it to no one. Gloria and I visited him at the bank. Although he was retired, he spent a couple of hours each morning in his office. He looked at us over the top of his bifocals, and I introduced myself and I told him we were interested in a piece of his land. Not selling, he said pleasantly. Promised it to a farmer for grazing. I know, but we teach school here and thought maybe you'd be interested in selling it to someone planning to settle in the area. He pursed his lips and he stared at me. What'd you say your name was? Gaither? Bill Gaither? Any relation to Grover Gaither? Yes, sir, he was my granddad. Mr. Yule put down his paper and he removed his glasses. He said, interesting. He said, Grover Gaither was the best worker I ever had on my farm. Full day's work for a day's pay. So honest. What'd you say you wanted again? I told him again, let me do some thinking on it and then come back and see me. I came back within a week. Mr. Yule told me that he had had the property appraised. I held my breath. He said, how does $3,800 sound? Would that be okay? There were 15 acres. I would have to come up with nearly $60,000. I did not have that kind of money. $3,800, I repeated. Yep. 15 acres for $3,800. I knew it had to be worth at least three times that. I readily accepted. Nearly 30 years later, my son and I strolled that beautiful, lush property that had once been pasture land. Benji, I said, you've had this wonderful place to grow up through nothing that you've done, but because of the good name of a great granddad that you never met. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. C.H. Spurgeon stated it this way, and I'll close. A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. So carve your name on their hearts and not on marble. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will indeed carve our name on the hearts of one another and those other people who are not in our fellowship that you have called us to love and to know by name. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be better stewards of our friends and our loved ones. And Lord, I pray that we, when we all get to heaven, we will hear you call our name and welcome us into your arms lovingly. And Father God, I thank you for the strength and the power and the integrity and the authority, the character and the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And we pray in his holy name. Amen.